All right, we are here. And this is the section, this is the timing in which you create the workshop with us and we answer questions that you have put together. So, what's our first question?
Our first question is, do you have any suggestions on how to eliminate the wall of defense?
Ah, very good. The wall of defense for all of you, those of you who have big walls or small walls or little rickety fences or whatever, were built when you were children at a time where you felt pretty defenseless, pretty vulnerable, where your parents determined your reality, not you. And hopefully you got some support, some validation. But nevertheless, even so, you were subjected to the great fear. The fear is what holds this in place. In order to remove this wall or fence of defense, you must come to terms with the fear. And more so than that, to open to the idea, to the concept that receiving can be safe, that you can trust your reality and your universe to provide for you everything in a beautiful, graceful, elegant, and easy manner. So how to get to that resonance, the resonance of trust? How do you get there to a place where your whole world is safe? Now, we don't recommend that you go around with your doors unlocked and cars unlocked and leaving the keys in the car when you walk away from it and so on. There are certain natural protections that work in your reality. It's actually more that you feel safe when you take the keys out of the car and lock the car, or when you lock your house when you leave it, then you actually are protecting anything. The protection is in the energy. If you feel unsafe about anything, then you must take whatever steps that need to be taken until you feel safe. As an example, the channel and Daniel had a break-in in their house in Coconut Grove, Miami. And it was through a window that did not have a lock on it. Even though they circled the property with light and did all sorts of things, they still didn't feel completely safe until they installed locks on the windows with keys. Because many of these windows would be a cinch for some dedicated criminal to open up. Antiquated windows, they were dating from the 1920s. So once they locked the windows, they had a feeling of safety. Voila! Now, the feeling of safety protected them. There's one time where they always locked their garage door. And one night they forgot to. And in the middle of the night, the channel woke up and said, "Oh, I forgot to lock the garage door. Ooh, that's strange. I'll have to remember to lock it in the future." And she didn't stop to think, well, does it make me feel safe or unsafe? She went back to sleep. In the morning, she woke up to find that, indeed, the place had been robbed. The garage had been opened, Someone had gone in and taken a few odds and ends that were there. Nothing. Well, there's some tools that were of value. She realized, oh, you know, probably I could have done an energy grid around it, and that probably would have done it. And yes, it would have. You don't know your own power. If you can start grasping that you can create by choice feelings of safety, you can allow that wall in one light choice. One exhale to go. Now your internal parent's going to complain. Wait a minute. Because, you know, the internal parent is the guardian of the fear. It wants to protect you from something. And if you don't have any fear, what's it going to protect you from? What kind of job will it be able to have? It doesn't want to be out of a job. So it says, now wait a minute, you're being unreasonable here. The world is a scary and dangerous place. And you should be aware of that. You should be defensive in all your dealings. You should take precautions in everything that you do. And take all the steps necessary to make sure that you are safe and secure, as well as your loved ones. Very important. But what if you decided, wait a minute, what if the universe was safe? What if the universe was loving? What if the universe could support me? If you made a choice for that, a choice of resonance, then what you can do with an internal parent figure is to say, thank you for having protected me in all the years in which I believed in my own victimhood, that I was not a master of my reality. And now that I'm willing to be responsible for my reality and to work with the frequencies and the energies, I would like for you to assist me in other ways. In other words, I'd like for you to give me intuitive guidance. If I'm driving someplace and the road is congested and I know another route to get there, I can ask you which route is more elegant. You can assist me in other ways. You can warn me if there is indeed anything I need to pay attention to. Now, of course, in order to do that, you have to have a relationship with your internal parent. But as soon as you take responsibility for all your choices, you're going to find that your team, all these facets of you, including internal parent, can be very positive figures. Even if they appeared to be controlling or limiting before, it's your limitation. Now, we're going to do a meditation in a short while, in which you're going to experience some of this opening of your receiving room. And indeed, we're going to take you through the dismantling of any walls or fences that you may have there. We're glad you asked that question, because that gives us a chance to give you the context of that piece of the meditation. We would suggest that in anticipation of releasing the wall, that you begin by imagining what would your life be like if you no longer needed it. What would be the frequency of your life? What would be the vibration? What would be the light, the expansion, the freedom, the power, the love? How would it feel different for you if you woke up in the morning and felt totally safe, loved, and protected? And we're saying this even in light of those crazy surprises that every now and then you get from your unconscious mind. Now, the unconscious mind deals with the laws of physical reality. It's the metaphysics of your reality. So if you have a belief that you are vulnerable in some kind of circumstances, but consciously you're unaware of it, it can still bubble up from the unconscious and give you a surprise. What will appear to be like an accident or a sudden loss of a person or a sudden loss of a job or a certain major impactful situation. These all come out of the unconscious mind. And it's due to this unconscious mind reservoir of stuff you just don't seem to anticipate coming before it hits you, that you still hold fear about your reality. What if you pulled in all the energies of the universe and let them all come through you, make your choices about them, flow them through you and onward? What if you could do that? If you did that, everything, unconscious, subconscious, and conscious, could flow through you. Subconscious has to do with consistency, all your habits and thought patterns and repetitive issues. Subconscious. Conscious mind, of course, where you feel the most control, even if you are in an illusion about being in control, it's still in the conscious mind. The decisions are really made there, in the conscious mind. To work with the subconscious and unconscious is always a marvelous way to expand yourself. You're quite a magnificent creature. You have created phenomenal complexes and patterns of behavior, emotions, thoughts, feelings, energies, and in the unconscious have placed in those karmic features that can make your life impacted. But if you receive everything, that even before you get those, what you might say, landmines that you suddenly step on and kaboom, they are up in your face kind of thing, you get the map of them. You know, like any good terrorist, you know, they plan. You know, we're going to have this strategy and that strategy. We're going to, you know, the terrorists who did the 9/11, they sent their guys over to aviation school and they lived, you know, like regular people. The channel had a client or a friend who lived next to them, in the building next to two or three of them. And they were just ordinary guys, you know. They'd go into the laundry room of the apartment building and do their laundry like all the other people. Learning how to function in the society, how to move, how to prepare and plan and network and coordinate and learn the information they need to learn how to take things through the sensor zone, etc., etc. It took planning. And so there's plans in your unconscious. If you don't get this, if you don't deal with it and make choice about it, it's going to whammy you. If you go ahead and open, you can get it to come through you, all the plans, and you can kind of get your whispers or messages or intuitive hits before it comes so that you can stay in power and your majesty of choice and in your power. And when you're in your power, do you not feel safer? If there's something you can do about something, you feel more empowered. If you cannot do anything about something, you feel powerless. When you have power, you feel safer. The more power you've got, the safer you are. And as spiritual beings, the more freedom you have to be yourself without negative consequences, the safer you feel, the safer you are. The more you can expand who you are and own who you are, the bigger your resonance, the less likely these dark limitations from the unconscious will be able to make it into your energy field. Now, while we've answered this particular question in a kind of a complicated round robin here, it all does come down to staying in choice and zipping yourself and your reality together, zip, and you determine where the zipper goes. You will feel safe. Your internal parent will have lost one job, but can go to something far more expansive for you. And no longer being an internal judging and critical parent, this internal parent self can be a nurturing and supportive parent. Now, all of you had parents, or at least one, who raised you. Even if it was a step mom or dad. But nevertheless, whoever raised you, there were moments where you felt supported by them. Even if there are many moments where you didn't. But you know what feeling supported is about. And this is a part of you that becomes benign when you decide to stop judging and you make your choices from light and presence and power. That internal parent will automatically shift into a supportive force for you, and your wall will come down. Now, you can get rid of your wall in one moment, but if you are unaware and you want to go back, throw limitations, and you don't want to breathe them through, and you don't want to let your reality in for one reason or another, if you start feeling anxious, you start feeling unsafe, the whole construct will reappear. Maybe not as quickly, maybe not in a moment, but it will reappear over days or weeks. That's why a lot of people go to workshops and trainings and they come out of it like, wow, that's the most spiritual and fantastic workshop I've ever been to, and it's just fantastic. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But what happened is that they opened up a room or two in their palace. But they weren't willing to receive the garbage that was in there, pull it in, say, no, this doesn't resonate with who I am anymore, and let it go on through. They chose to look at it when it showed up and go into judgment and said, oh my gosh, I may not be as far advanced as I thought I was. Here I am back in the old issues, and I haven't made any progress. And then what they've experienced at the workshop no longer is real for them. It fizzles out. So don't let that happen for you. Recognize you can always take your power back. Even if you find yourself going, oh, I'm powerless here. I can't make a choice. Stop saying, wait, oops. Oh, okay, back to power. Because when you go back to power and step into your choice, without judgment, you can move into safety again. And you can say, okay, oh, that wall's starting to come back. Here it goes again. When you breathe it out and it's gone again. You only have to do this maybe 2 or 3 times before the subconscious, who's the one who maintains consistency in everything that you do in your psyche, says, oh, okay, this person definitely wants the wall gone. Okay, I get it. Generally, it takes, you know, a few weeks to really authentically, really truly break a habit. You can break a habit by will, but you have to sustain the will for a certain period of time until it really anchors into your subconscious, and then your subconscious really gets it and goes, okay, and you got your new pattern. Most people don't like having to sustain their choices in power. They think, oh, okay, made the new choice, now I can go back to being unconscious. Being unconscious is fun if you choose it for a few minutes here or there. In other words, you want to, you know, go and do something that you had thought, oh, this is superficial and silly and you've judged it before, you could go and do it without judgment for a few minutes and say, I'm going to just now go and escape. Ooh, this is going to be something I choose to escape. It's your choice. You go there, you do it. It's actually a lot more fun than you thought. But you also then realize, I don't need to do it again. Because my reality is so much brighter. I don't need to escape so much. What am I escaping? Yeah, my reality's fun. It's more fun, you see. So it's all part of that unfoldment, which is an evolution of vibration, an evolution of your force. And the more you link into the future, which is what we're going to do also later, the more the future will pull you, will attract you, will anchor into you, will whisper to you and sing to you a vision, a dream. And you will find yourself moving forward into your healing, into your receiving, into your freeing yourself. Easier and easier you'll go. More and more you'll feel the joy. And it'll be effortless because the future will be pulling you. And when you have that hook, your wall will not come up again. It will not make any more appearances. It will be gone. And all that vulnerability and weakness and victimhood that's left over from childhood and teenagery will have disappeared. All right? There you go. Next question.
I am afraid that if I let in everything before discernment first, then something negative will seduce me or overwhelm me into martyrhood or victimhood. How do I overcome this fear?
If you look at someone who's capable of receiving, or you can imagine someone who's capable of receiving the world, then you can also, phenomenally enough, imagine that this person who seems to be so happy and joyous and successful must be feeling fairly safe to be able to do it. If you feel that this person, or even this imaginary person you've put together, could possibly have a life filled with joy and ease and safety in their receiving, then you can start with little baby steps. You can start practicing receiving in small pieces. For example, let's say you and another person are having a conversation, and the other person starts to move into a manipulative position. You can tell that they're starting to play a game. Now, being sensitive people, all of you need to recognize that you're pretty psychic. You sometimes don't acknowledge that fact, but you are. And you immediately sense this person is going into some kind of manipulative strategy of which you are the intended target. Now, the most common reaction that you may have to a person doing this is to resist. You push out. You know, we're doing a gesture here of putting the palms forward and just pushing away. Okay, we're just going to push you away, and we're going to put a wall between us, and we're going to protect ourselves from your negativity. We're going to protect from negativity. Still, you may not know what to say or how to get out of it, but nevertheless, there'll be that judgment that's there. As soon as you make the judgment, this person becomes unsafe for you. So here's what we would suggest in this example. The person is doing this, making this manipulative statement. It looks like they're going to try and get something out of you. What we would suggest in that case is to imagine This is a very powerful technique now. To imagine that you are pulling energy from their heart. This is the part that represents their heart chakra, their most balanced point, their place of capacity of love, etc. And you're going to pull energy from their heart chakra to your heart chakra and on through your body and on out. Now, if you do not make a judgment about this person, you might have to get rid of the judgment first, of course, then you can do this. If you make a judgment, however, you will stick yourself into this black and white, right, wrong, duality border, where everything is on one end or the other end in a duality framework. You stick yourself into duality, stick yourself deeper into three-dimensional reality, and therefore you have to defend. You may even have to go into defense posture and put up your dukes on some verbal level. So what we're suggesting is if you can find this an example like this in your own life, even perhaps one that you remember, you can play it through your mind and then imagine yourself instead. Okay, what if instead of pushing away and trying to, you know, adjust and work with the game and weasel around the game and try and get out of it and try to manipulate them back or whatever. Instead, what if you had opened yourself fully to them, moved their energy through you and out you without any judgment of what they were doing? It's very freeing, even though at first thought it seems pretty scary. No, it's not, because your intention is to move it through you. It's like the same concept in the martial arts, where when your opponent comes running at you, you don't resist. You take their momentum, their energy, and you just do a little bit of maneuver. You receive them and move with them, and by golly, a little guy can fling a big guy over his shoulder if he uses the momentum of his antagonist. It's that concept. Do not resist reality, or you get fried. You get whammied, bludgeoned, whatever, you know, works for you. So if you pull energy from them and pull through you without judgment, what you're also doing is creating a vacuum in the universe. When you do that, light comes from the universe. You can even imagine it as a beam of light coming into that person through their back, through their heart, to your heart, and on. After a little while, the light coming through is going to be all clean, isn't it? If you have no judgment, nothing's sticking the light. Nothing's putting the light there. And if your opponent who wants to manipulate you has no energy to hook into to kind of manipulate you with, they kind of lose their capacity of attack. They're not going to get a rise out of you the way they want to. They're not going to pin you in the corner the way they want to, because you're too fluid. It just is not like you're resisting it. If they throw the glove down, okay, let's have a good juicy contest here, and you don't, they can't play the game. It's a wonderful way to diffuse antagonistic energy. And the reason we bring this up is because it is so embedded in your training, in your life, to resist negativity, as you would call it, which is your judgment on other people. Be aware, when you judge other people as being negative, they're looking out generally for their self-interest in the way they think that they can. You're also not seeing them for the light beings that they are, and you're also creating fear in your reality just by the sheer fact of judging. Now you may say, but isn't there some evil in the world? Yes, there is. But it doesn't have to trap you. It doesn't even have to affect you. Right? So think about this example and now expand it to include your whole life. What if you could receive all the energy of your whole life, even if it was quote unquote negative? If you held it without judgment, it would just come in kind of matter of fact and go, oh, that doesn't match. You know, it's like you're going to put on two socks. Oh, this is a black sock and this is a navy blue sock. They don't match. Your choice to take off one and put on a matching sock. Or you can go and wear the two of them just like that, you know, all day if you want. But it's your choice. How are you going to frame it? What are you going to create with it? You could make your reality so incredibly safe. What if you're on the highway driving and everybody seems to be insane? They're changing lanes and craziness and speeding or being too slow and it's all mixed up in there together. And boy, do you have to pay a lot of attention to drive down this highway. You know, there are a lot of people that you just don't want to ride in the car with them because they judge everybody on the highway. How much stress do you think they have when they drive? And what about people who don't judge anybody on the highway? How much easier is it going to be for them to drive? It's just whatever is. No judgment. They just are present. They go with the flow. They just flow. This is when a person ends up doing that, and we've discovered that in the sense of the channel and Daniel, that when they just can relax about it, traffic just opens up for them and, you know, they just slide here and there. It just starts to get really easy and elegant. Why? Because they don't have any investment in negativity and judgment. When the channel starts to judge, that's when she starts getting impatient. That's when she starts going into time scarcity. That's when she starts getting into martyrhood and victimhood and pressure and stuff and not in her choice. So it's always your choice. How are you going to create the frequencies that come in to you? If they don't have judgment, all you do is choose by preference of, is it brighter? Is it more powerful for you? Is it feel more free for you? Does it feel more expansive for you? And if it is, then you keep that one. That's all it is to it. You have received that. If it doesn't feel those good things, then you just breathe out, let it go on. And without judgment, nothing sticks. So guess what you keep holding? The good stuff, the fun stuff, the stuff that feels really, 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 really nice. Now, yeah, even good is a judgment, but nevertheless, just stuff that feels good. You're feeling good. You feel good vibration. That's what you keep. Now, if you have a self-image that says, oh my gosh, I don't deserve all of that, that's a whole nother issue. Why do you judge yourself? You know, some people, you know, save everybody else the judgment expense by judging themselves first, and then they stick themselves so well that they don't, you know, they're staying victim martyr forever. It's consistently, day in and day out. But if you stop judging, and we also include, obviously, yourself in here, but if you stop judging people, your reality gets safe. You are safe. You can stay in your power. Judgment just snaps you right into victimhood, into childhood, and your internal parent says, oh, there's a job for me, huh? And shows up to create shoulds and oughts and problems and mete out what you can receive and what you can't. And you get stuck back in the old grid, an old 3D grid. 4D has to do with the flow of energy. And when you, in the future, begin to tap into the power of fourth dimensional thinking and feeling, you'll be amazed at what you can do. Things that you thought, you know, illusions that magicians on a large scale can do with mirrors. You know, you'll be able to do that just with light. You'll be able to appear or disappear, teleport, all those kinds of juicy things. But you can't do any of that unless you take the first steps to create the frequencies and the resonance of a fourth dimensional access being. To access fourth dimension, you have to let go of the judgments and the fears. And the judgments creating the fears, and the fears reinforce the judgments, and then you've got a happy little circle going. But break it up, and you begin to see with great awe how majestic you really are. And then you can open your receiving room full and wide, like a big door. Like it's morning and it's a gorgeous day. The sky is blue with white little fluffy clouds, and the birds are singing and the butterflies are fluttering about, and it's gorgeous. Gorgeous day. Yes! And you let the world in. And you have all the bounty and abundance you could possibly want. All right, next question.
When the time comes to letting something go back out that I received, what are some elegant ways to let things go?
All right, we need a clarification. Is that something that was perceived as negative, that you evaluated and decided, no, I don't want it, I'll let it go? Or is it something that you had accepted and received that has created some impact on you, and at this point you want to let it go? Which one is it?
The second.
All right. This, dear one, is the process known generally as forgiveness. It's where you take all the judgments back off the situation in retrospect. And a lot of people, when a situation has gone sour or somehow or another doesn't feel good anymore, the temptation is to create new beliefs, limiting beliefs about it, by going back and trying to evaluate it and find cause and effects. Now, causes and effects are extremely limiting, because generally they end up as judgments. So if there's a situation that doesn't seem to be working out well, instead of going back through judgments and causes and effects and trying to figure out what went wrong, we would suggest instead is to go back and say, where did I judge? Where did I apply limited thinking and beliefs? Where did I limit myself or judge myself or limit myself through any kind of decision or any kind of limited concept or any kind of judgment whatsoever of any kind? Or where did I accept it from others? Let me release those places through the act of forgiveness. Now, it doesn't mean that you did anything wrong by getting hooked in there. So you're not forgiving yourself because, I boo-booed, now I have to forgive myself. No. You're forgiving yourself as a way of washing the energy with light and to put it back into a clean, limpid, beautiful place. Forgiveness means that you love yourself enough to let go of all the judgment on yourself and others and the situation, and open instead to the possibility, as we mentioned earlier, that sometimes when your reality gives you lemons, that you can open up to other possibilities for the delicious lemonade. okay, maybe you've come to this place, it's appearing to be stuck, appearing to be difficult, when what it's really doing is trying to kind of ooch your attention to look over here at this other possibility. So once you wash yourself clean of all the judgments, the thing to be able to do here is then to look at the force of the future, future self, and say, what's the possibility? You ask the questions of the future, not of the past. Because as soon as you're looking at what went wrong, and let me detail and delineate it so it will never happen again, which is generally the consensus reality way. You notice it on TV and everything. Anything goes wrong, okay, we're going to find out who's at fault, who did it, and what was the problem, and what was done wrong, and it'll never happen again. We'll raise rates, and we'll create new, you know, regulations and new laws, and we'll limit the heck out of it so it'll never happen again. You know that doesn't work. So don't do it in your personal life either. Okay? It's not about who's to blame, what went wrong, not about the past anymore, dear ones. Now, it was at one time, because that's the only paradigm you had to work with. But the paradigms are shifting. You're feeling the new paradigms. The new pulse is starting to rock your world in a way. And you'll see a lot more of it coming soon. And in that process of this new reality coming in, you want to focus more on the future, be drawn to the future, because all the solutions, all the answers, so to speak, are part of the process of expanding into being the self that you are in the future. Where there's no judgment, no limitation, no limiting beliefs, what is possible? Stretch, dream, grow. And in that regard, you will allow yourself the magic, because that is a loving thing to do for yourself, of touching into fourth dimensionality and into the infinite. And out of the infinite comes miracles. Miracles will drop out of the infinite. Miracles will not drop in the lives, in your life, if you're judging, busy judging, this is the way it should be, this is the way it isn't, and blah, 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 and I don't like this, and I do like... You know, it just won't drop in quite that way. But when you touch infinity, when you look into the force of the future and connect yourself to the force of the future, you'll be freed of the stuckness that you have suffered from something that you inadvertently accepted in your receiving. You don't have to be stuck with anything, ever, that you receive. If you feel that you are stuck with something and there is absolutely no way to get out of your situation, you accepted it, you asked for it, bang, it's here. You know, you don't go around and, you know, tisk-tisk with your friend and say, well, you know, they always say, you have to watch out what you ask for, what if you get it? Talk about, you know, limiting. A point of view, right? No, when you get what you asked for and it wasn't the vibration you thought it was, and there is no way yet out of it, you don't see your other option yet, then you make a choice. I'm going to continue doing this while I look for other options, because this is what I have committed myself to doing, and I'm going to do it with as much consciousness so that I can change the frequency of it the best that I can as a powerful human being. When you take that power up, you're zipping yourself and your reality up again. Zip, and things will open up. Magic and miracles can happen. All right? That fourth dimension is just shimmering beyond the boundary, just waiting for us to get there, to open and to let it in.
Where in the world is the best place for me to live to achieve optimum prosperity, good health, and joy?
Well, you know, it's going to be the place where you feel the lightest, the freest, the most powerful, and the most expansive. But how are you going to know that in advance of moving there? The issue is rather not where I need to live in order to be happiest, but to let go of the judgment that you are hanging over your head about where you live. You see, if you think there is a place on the planet that is the best, absolute best place for you, you may or not may be absolutely right on the money, and you may not be. However, it implies, though, that you're dissatisfied in some way with where you are, and you think that your location is going to make the difference. These are very limited beliefs. We would suggest that wherever you are now, choose to be there in as high a consciousness capacity as possible. And meanwhile, go around the business of intuitively perceiving what would be fun places to visit, or fun places that you might consider. Now, if you're astrologically inclined, you can order a chart called Astro Locality Chart, which will show you the planets drawn like lines on the map of the world, or whatever, United States, or wherever you want to be, and they will have certain frequencies, certain energies that will be more present on certain lines and than others, and so on. And you can select, if you like, to that system to go to the place where your sun line or moon line or Venus line or Jupiter line or whatever you think is the funnest planet as energy line to be. And people have found out, as a substitute for psychic knowing, to be a pretty good second option. However, knowing is always the best. The first thing is, of course, you want to live into the frequency that you sense that you will be when you are there, and to do it here through choice. Again, you're connecting the bottom of the zipper here, all right? So when you then look at various places that look like they'd be really fun for you to be in, and you say you get maps, or you get tourist information about these places, or you go on the net and you print out stuff about this, that, and the other, or you talk to people who are there, and blah, blah, blah. And when you do your research of these various places, it could come down to something as simple as sitting down with them all, asking for guidance and support, but knowing that your happiness is not dependent on these. You're just looking at what is the lightest, the brightest, the most expansive, the most free, the most powerful. You're asking out of all of them, no judgment at any of them as being inadequate or poor choices or anything. But where would be, you know, the most fun, you know? What feels the lightest? And then just have the sheets out on the table, or even have it on a list, and just put over your hand over it and put your hand down. Feel the energy. Let yourself tune into the brightness, the freedom, the light, if you haven't already. Some people can do it with pendulum. Some people, you know, muscle test with their, you know. But the most important thing is to take your power here and recognize that if you make a choice in this manner and you move based on this choice, oh, it felt the lightest and the brightest and so on, and so I'm going to be moving over here to this place and live in this city now, and everything should unfold for me now. And if it doesn't, what are you going to do? Are you going to kick yourself? You're going to judge yourself? You're going to judge the people who gave you the information? You know, I talked to the, to the city and to the bureau and visitors bureau, and they said this and this and this, and it's not like this at all. You're going to blame? You're going to judge? You going to get stuck somewhere? Or are you going to say to yourself, oh, I was such a doozy. I left a secure job to come here, and I can't get a job. I don't know what's wrong with me. You don't want to set yourself up, dear one, for anything like that. Recognize if you get a call to go to a particular place, and you go there, and it doesn't work out, there's a call waiting for you. It's like one of those search games where they leave clues. Maybe it's appropriate for you to live in several places. But if you find home here and now, every place can be sublime. You can create whatever you wish, anywhere. Some places are just a little lighter and freer and more powerful and fun than others. But not earth-shattering, not the complete story, by any means. No.
What direction is the best for the relationship with my son that is estranged for me?
What approach to do? What's that?
What direction is the best for the relationship with my estranged son?
All right. All right, as we tune in, there is a realization that there lies a judgment, a painful one at that, about loss. This is an issue surrounding loss. The estranged son is that son who is lost from the connection, from the heart love, from the link that's direct. Yes, the heart love is going to still be there. You know, if you lose someone to death, the heart love can still be there for them on the other side. And it's almost a similar case in this case of the estrangement. Because when children are estranged, it generally comes from a whole plethora of judgments, which have piled up and piled up and piled up and piled up, going both ways actually. Even with love, a lot of people can judge. So the judgments get intertwined and interblended with love. This creates the chain of pain that families have. And most everyone has experienced some form of this in their family, either by themselves when they were children and they estranged themselves deliberately from their parents because they wanted their own identity and they had strong identity parents, or they estranged themselves from the parents because they felt that the parents didn't approve of them or didn't love them correctly and so on. A lot of judgments. And the parent saying, oh, you know, I love them and I gave to them and so on, and this is the reward I get. And a sense of sadness and so on, inherent in that is limitation, is pain, is suffering, is judgment, inherent in there. Why is he off? He's normal. He's so bright. He's on such a, he could be on such a good track. We could have, it could be so beautiful. But you know, he or she, they're just like the grandfather, or they're just like the aunt, or they're just like this other family member with other family's members' limitations. An implied judgment under there. It could still be love, but there's still judgment. So what direction to take a relationship that has been wounded in such a way? Well, first of all, is as we said earlier, in the question earlier, to go back through it and remove all the judgments in retrospect. And know that it also may have, the pain may have been part of something intended to put your vision into another direction than where it was. Then moving your attention to the future, no need to process that past, with the love that's left over after all the judgments, wear and tear have chiseled pieces of it away, you then focus that love into the future, into a future where you and that estranged child are not only on civil terms, but can see each other more clearly as to who they are, who they each are. An estrangement, there is always a veil where you cannot see the other person or cannot know the other person, because the image that you are holding of the other person, this goes both ways, is an image that was set, almost set in stone in a way, years earlier. That previous image to be released requires tremendous forgiveness, washing it clean, letting it not be an impactful aspect of your evaluation of the circumstance now, as you look into the future where it all is connected, but not in the way it used to be. A different type of energy, a different type of connection. Now, that does not guarantee that that connection will be made even in this lifetime. But by choosing that particular frequency and energy into the future, you're making that energy part of your destiny by choice, and so in some shape or form, you will have to experience it. That beautiful energy, not of reconciliation to become that which it was, but an energy of connecting from a new perspective and to accept and to love each other without judgment into the future. So we would suggest this energetic shift in order to open the gates to the healing that needs to be taken place for you, and then also the estranged child, who is still connected by frequencies to you, can pick up and thereby be freed from their prison of perspective, opening up greater and greater possibilities. It takes a lot of courage and power and presence to do this when you are the parent, because at some point you must let go of the person that you once were years ago, the one that they, the estranged child or children, set in stone as being who you were. You have to let go of that self, even if you never thought it was you. But if you can let it go, you can let go of the projection that they make that it was you, and that's the person they do not want to be around because they think that's the person you still are. All that will vanish and dissolve. This opens possibility, and without any judgments, and with all opening to receive the bountiful universe's gifts of this future destiny, the destiny in which every little piece, actually, all the loose ends, you see, you've been working on loose ends from lifetime after lifetime, and they're all kind of coagulated here because you want to kind of finishes a lot of stuff off. These loose ends are going to be wrapped up. You don't want to get on the other side after this lifetime is over and say, shoot, oh darn, you know, I really got to go back and have another lifetime just to, you know, get this clear. Get reconnected with this person. You want to shift that energy in this lifetime. And on the other side, at the very worst, okay, if you don't reconnect in the way you want to, or you don't have that new relationship forming in this reality, then when you get on the other side, then you'll sit down with them and laugh over a cup of tea or whatever in the coffee house at the end of the world and say, okay, well, boy, do we have a good one going that lifetime. Filled with love and joy and sharing how, oh my gosh, what script did you give me? You know, you really, boy, did you do your script well. You pushed all my buttons. Oh yeah, well, you did an even more superb job. You deserve a real Oscar for what you did for me. You know, and laughing about it at the other end. And now we know that's a stretch sometimes in the imagination, but that's kind of like it is. You know, you get on the other side, and all the stuff that you took so terribly seriously and personally in this lifetime, you sit down, it's like, there they are, and you love them, and they love you, and they're all laughing and having a grand time. No limitations, total freedom, you know, and a sense of joy and celebration. You don't have to go back. You don't have to do any more. It's done. You did what you needed to do. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your questions. We're going to go into a very brief break, basically a bathroom break, very short. And then we're going to go into meditation, and we're going to do a lot of this lifting, opening, healing, and so forth. All right? So we close now for just a few moments. Farewell.